All right, and welcome to November 4th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. And on this show, I cover a lot of ground very quickly, so please have your pencils ready. Or better yet, if you miss something, you can just listen to me again. I don't discourage that. In fact, if you want to listen to me all day long, I have no problem with that whatsoever. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're ever looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's Teresa with an H. And let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's headlines. The Treaty of Tripoli is signed with the United States, and Rob Dyrdek gets his first MTV show. All right, so now let's get started. 1796. Treaty of Tripoli is signed with the United States. Former President Barack Obama once stated that Islam had been woven into the fabric of our country since its formation. I'm not really sure what he means by that. I'm guessing he's referring to the fact that most of the slaves from Africa sent to America who broke their backs building American infrastructure were Muslim, though many would be forced to Christianity. Whatever it is, it had nothing to do with this treaty. If President Obama meant that America had been at war against Islam since its beginning, I suppose he would have a point there as well. When the United States of America broke away from Great Britain on July 4th, 1776, that included British protection. Of course, the American settlers could fight the Native Americans on their own without the help of the British, so that was a non-factor. Except for the wars in the seas near the Gibraltar Strait. Pirates in the Barbary States, in the areas we now call Libya, Tunisia, and Algeria, relentlessly attacked all European vessels in the area and enslaved hundreds of thousands, possibly over a million crew members, and white women in particular held a high ransom value that was downright extortion. The ransom continued to grow, and by the year 1800, Islamic pirates who captured American vessels were seeking a demand of nearly 20% of the entire U.S. economy. Fast forward for a moment all the way to 2019, when Rashida Tlaib swore her oath of office as she was sworn in of Congresswoman of Michigan on a copy of the Quran that was previously owned by President Thomas Jefferson. You see, when the British destroyed Washington, D.C. during the War of 1812, Jefferson donated his personal library to replace the actual official library that had burnt down. And among this very large collection included a copy of the Quran, which Tlaib chose to be sworn in on because, quote, a lot of Americans just have this kind of feeling that Islam is somehow foreign to American history, unquote. Yet, I highly doubt this was the reason Jefferson had a copy of the Quran. When he demanded an answer from Tripoli Ambassador Sidi Haji Abdurrahman in London, as to why the pirates are getting away with this, he was told the same thing his predecessor John Adams was told, which was that the rights were founded on the laws of the Prophet, that it was written in the Quran, that all nations that had not answered their authority were sinners, that it was their right and duty to make war upon them wherever they could be found, and blah, blah, blah. Then, the U.S. Navy and Marines put a stop to it. Yes, the same Navy that was just created during the American Revolution would now be put to its first international war. And it was a quick one. The 1805 Battle of Dima, that kicked off the Barbary Wars, was won by the Alliance of America and Sweden, and I do mean quickly, thanks to Army Lieutenant William Eaton and Marine First Lieutenant Presley Neville O'Bannon. I've had parties that lasted longer than this battle. I mean, you've probably been to one of them. But really, chances are, the reason why Jefferson had that Quran in his collection was because he was probably just trying to understand an entity that was not compatible with America's democratic and republic values. In 2006, Rob Dyrdek and his bodyguard show up on his first MTV show. And why is that a surprise that Rob would get his own show? It's not. Rob lived his boyhood as a great American hustler. Why not his adult life as well? Born June 28, 1974 in Kittering, Ohio, he got his first professional skateboard from his hero, Neil Blender, an appropriate name for a shredder. Young Rob had signed up for his skateboarding contest as a child at a local competition. He earned that skateboard through heart and sweat. Rob was athletic. He purchased a skateboard from the loose change his sister's boyfriend was able to scrounge up for him, but he could not afford to actually enter the competition. So, Rob went to the event organizers and told them he couldn't afford the competition, but made him a deal. If he could get 10 other skaters to join him, he gets in for free. The judges went for it, and young Rob found 10 other skaters to join the competition, and from there, he killed it. He said to himself he was going to be the best, and at the age of 11, Rob Dyrdek made his name known in front of his skateboarding heroes. He would sit in class and daydream about how he would do tricks. Now, this is not an excuse to daydream in class, folks. I'm talking about a kid who framed in his mind the actions his body would follow, and that became his reality for him. That's a huge part of success. At the time, he was just doing what he knew how to do without realizing he was coming up with his own style and, by extension, his name brand. Before he was 17, Rob and Neil created their own brand name together. You've heard of it, Alien Workshop. By the time he was a senior in high school, Rob had become competitive enough to ride professionally and dropped out of his senior year to move to Southern California. Rob was an entrepreneur and he got sponsored by DC Shoes right away. From there, Rob's career took off. One might argue that it wasn't his natural born ability to skate, it was his sheer belief in himself when he not only competed, but hustled his way into endorsements. Rob had some failures and learned from them all. He learned a few tricks about marketing products from his friend Bam from another TV show, Jackass. So Rob renegotiated all of his licensing deals for super high royalties and way low minimums, as he calls it. But it was on this day, in 04, when Rob hit the big time with Rob and Big. So now you're either a big fan of Rob's or you're not. And those of you who are, you've probably seen him on Ridiculousness, as well as Dude Perfect on CMT, and others. And if you know anything about skateboarding, then you probably know all the records he's broken, including the longest 50-50 rail grind, longest broadside, highest jump ramp into water, and many others. Whether you're a skateboarder or not, we can all learn a lot from this gutsy American self-made kid. So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for November 4th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's podcast. For instance, are you a fan of the show Ridiculousness? I mean, it's okay, but what's with that blonde sitting there laughing like a hyena the whole entire time? My wife can't stand her. She'll make me change the channel because of her. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. So good luck with that. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about Operation Steel Curtain, plus FDR, Back to the Future, Fort Hood Massacre, and Elvis. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle, by the way, is at JDUSHL. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you then.